going to go on here. Just mention how interesting Mr. Selznick is with all these stories about his life in the Army and when he got out. Did your mother, was alive for how many years after you came home? Do you remember?
Well, she lived to be, she died in her 79th year.
Oh, she did.
Of a cerebral hemorrhage.
I see. And your father had already died?
My father died at 62.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure.
But you were the support of the family until she died?
Yes. But my brothers and sisters had all gone on their own way, and I didn't put any drain on them. I thought, I didn't need it. Mm-hmm. There. I had everything I needed in my business.
Now, when your sister moved back to Squirrel Hill from Northside, did you go back too?
Oh, yes. I went with her to Squirrel Hill.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And continued to stay with her? Is that it?
I continued until I was married and moved to here's my mother, my wife now. She's like my mother too. It's a funny girl.
She is? What way?
Every way, tough as hell.
Okay, we just met Mrs. Selznick, and she's certainly is a lovely gal, and she's on her way to do her work while we continue with Mr. Selznick now. You said that you didn't bother to go on to school with the GI Bill, but you moved from your sister's home. Your mother was already gone when you moved out, was she?
Yes.
When you moved out.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So she was never really at your wedding?
No.
Your mom?
No.
Uh-huh. But your sister was there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And when you moved, where did you move to? With your wife?
To Allison Park, to the Kalig Farm, a little house on the farm.
Uh-huh. Now they still, it was not your farm, it was Kalig's
farm. No, that was
farm.
Sam Kalig's
farm,
yes.
And you were just having your horses
my
there
stable,
in your home.
Living there and had my stable there. I was a tenant.
How long before you decided to move out here to Greensburg?
When they were going to subdivide the farm. And at the same time, like I said, the Dunbergs bought this place.
Uh-huh.
They brought me out to look at it and asked if I would want to, almost demand it.
That you come?
Yes. And, of course, that was wonderful.
Yes.
And things fell in place. I worked for them for 6 years, and then when Stanley sold the place, we bought the one section of it.
I see. So you were able to just go on...
Just
living
go on,
there. It's
yes.
interesting that you didn't mind moving out of Squirrel Hill.
Well, at that time of the youngsters, I had nothing there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My friends had all gotten old, and they had, I don't think, interest of their own, but they certainly weren't in the vein of mine.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you were able to move out without too much difficulty, right?
Oh, yeah. Not at all.
Did you, when you were out here, were there Jewish organizations? Did you belong to anything? Were there a B'nai B'rith or whatever?
No. Just when we came out here, we immediately joined the temple.
Yeah, but
they contacted us.
But no organizations that were out here. You weren't a member or active in anything.
No, too busy.
Too
busy.
Busy. Yeah, right. All the time.
Day and night, never ending.
Uh-huh. So there was. You really had no outside activities outside of your own business with horses.
That's right, especially since the horse business was both social and business.
Mm-hmm.
Our social activity for that.
Yes.
The same.
Uh-huh.
There were family connections in my wife's family.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of entertaining and were active in everything. You know, Bibby Schlesinger, I don't know if you know her or not, and Seed, Sally Seed.
Mm-hmm.
They're very active at the time.
They're all in Squirrel Hill, you mean?
Yes. Uh-huh. Or out of Squirrel Hill, church. Mm-hmm.
So you would go into Squirrel Hill for family affairs?
Yes, for family.
Were they family? Were they
the family,
family?
Yeah. My wife's family. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Seed, Mrs. Seed is part of the family?
Yes, that's right.
I see. So you really had contacts there that you...
Still do. When I go in a temple, I feel at home.
You do.
Not at our own little temple.
At Road of Shalom, you mean?
Road of Shalom, yeah. I feel at home, yes.
Well, your rabbi is still there.
Well, the one that married me, of course.
Yes,
my rabbi
right.
Go all the way back to Levy.
Oh, my. That was before...
Before Goldenson, before...
Who was the great rabbi who did... at Road of Shalom.
Friha.
Did you know him?
Yes, sure, but... He wasn't my favorite rabbi.
Oh, I see.
Who was the rabbi when you were confirmed?
Goldenson.
Yeah, I was very friendly with Goldenson. He used to come visit where I worked for my dad at that time, the automobile business, and I was just a kid, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come up and loaf around with me.
Really?
Off a little bit.
Oh, my.
See, he seemed to be interested in the business world.
Ah, that's good.
He seemed foreign to it, too.
Well, you must have been very friendly because you seem to have drawn in a lot of people.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes. That
I like people, I think that's why.
Evidently.
I like to listen. You're listening to me. I like to listen to people. I like to draw people out.
Uh-huh.
And,
But evidently you drew people toward you so that you got acquainted with them, they got acquainted with you.
Very much so.
They would come to visit.
Of course, there's an awful lot of that because of their children.
Yes, yeah, the training.
Yes. Of course, Irv wasn't one of the riders. His family weren't one of the riders.
No.
I think he brought Bobby up and Bobby rode a pony or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. But not,
that was true with business, my business friend, or my friends,
yeah.
my social friends.
Yeah. So it was an interconnection
yeah.
there yeah. between your business. Tell me, when you look back at your life, what do you view as the accomplishment? What would you view as your greatest accomplishment?
I gave a lot of pleasure. At the end of the day, if any youngster was unhappy with what went on in my place, I couldn't sleep.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the people that worked for me, they were part of the family. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. I had one little youngster that worked for me, and he was from down in the hollow. His family... where the parkway is now.
Yes.
And one morning, a real cold morning, mm-hmm. his ears were frozen. So I said to him, where's that cap? I think it was a 67-cent cap I bought at Sears. Mm-hmm. Where's that cap? I have it here for you kids to wear at earlugs. And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, Joey. If the person that stole that cap brings it back here, they could wear it. But if it's home, they can't wear it because I would see it. So if they were smart, they would bring that cap back. The next day, he brought the cap back. And I said, now, isn't that better? You don't have to steal anything here. Now you have the cap. And I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make everybody here equal partners in everything in this place. Horses, saddles, clothing, everything in this place. We're now equals. There's only one stipulation. You must leave them here.
Ah, that was a good idea.
And it worked.
Yes.
The ones stealing
these
thing,
kids
I had no place to take it.
Helped you around the horses. Is
unbelievable.
That what they did? Yes.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. See, you can't do that today.
No.
Well, these kids were all, had nothing else to do and a place to loaf.
Right.
And became good horse people. Mm-hmm. In fact, several of them made millions in the horse business.
Really?
Yes, in racing.
Yes, yeah.
From Greenfield and from down over the hill.
From Greenfield, too?
Yes.
Because there weren't too many Jews in Greenfield.
No, they weren't Jewish kids.
None of them. Oh, none of them were
well,
Jewish.
I must admit that some of the worst athletes I had were Jewish.
You'll get that admission from some of the kids who said they got all A's except in phys ed.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you had the other kids. Well, that's good.
Yes.
So that you made people feel good about themselves, I think, is what you're saying.
Oh, we loved them. They loved us.
Yes, yes. They loved you.
Yes.
Right. Was there anything that you wish you could have changed if you had had?
Sure. I didn't charge enough.
Ah.
Well, I gave lessons for $3 at the end, $1.50 originally, and $3. Today they're $50.
But I was going to say at that time that was a lot of money.
Well, yeah. Put it this way, and while I had Shenley Stables, trying to think, the city solicitor was a Jewish girl, Alpert.
Oh, Ann Alpert.
Ann Alpert.
Yes.
And she wouldn't let me raise it, Bryce.
Oh.
She was, and her husband rode there. That might have been the reason.
Right.
He was killed by a truck.
Yeah. But it wasn't, it was still more money. It meant more than $3.
Well, I could run the stable. I never was in debt my whole life.
Uh-huh.
So, I never bought anything unless I had the money to pay for it.
Yes.
So
you didn't send checks and credit cards out.
No. I tell a story about that, but it's liable to be checked on me someday.
What is that?
Somebody said, Jack Weiner, he called, he said, on a Monday. I used to go to work for him on Monday. He made me come in and help, and I get sick every Monday night selling furniture. But because he wouldn't let you out, he'd give a boy $90, go on buy corned beef and bagels, and that's what we had for dinner. Well, every Monday night I come home sick. But what was it that, somebody said, he called me and said, how'd you do yesterday? Did you take in 100? I said, no, I took in 200. And he said, what'd you mark down, 100? I said, no, I marked down rain.
Oh.
The writing table, you don't do any business.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
So you work Mondays in the furniture?
I would go in and sell, help, as an extra.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it with a vengeance, but I was good at it.
But I still want to know, was there, in all seriousness, as you think back on your life, is there anything that you would have wanted to change in that? You said it was all good life that you had.
Yes, the only thing I would have changed was my, just like I said, was my business ability, that I could have ended up
wealthy.
Yeah, and in a better position financially in that business. I really was playing more, I guess, although it was hard work. I really was playing, enjoying it too much.
So you had no aspirations to be a wealthy man?
No, and yet all my friends were wealthy, became wealthy. Mm-hmm. And they didn't mind. I mean, they thought I was doing the right thing. They encouraged me. They certainly didn't discourage me.
Right.
Maybe they should have, but what's the difference?
As you said, I enjoyed what I did. It
very
was
much,
work
and it gave me prestige that no other business would give you.
Right.
See, a man is known by his, this man has an ability of his own, of Bobby making that ring.
Yes.
That's very very satisfying.
Right, right. He created something.
And I create. I was sitting with a man, he was a big contractor, I'm trying to think of his name too, and he worked taking the sand from under the river and selling the sand. And he said, at this party, he was bold to do it, he says, you're all leeches. None of you create anything in this world. You buy something that somebody else made or take it out of the earth, and you sell it and you keep the money. The only one in here that's creating anything is Milt Selznick. He says, because he teaches.
That's beautiful. That was a real compliment.
Yes, but it was, I think, more of a compliment to me was tearing down the others. Belittling the others.
Yeah, he did that.
I can't think of his name.
But it was a special position that you had in Pittsburgh because they knew that you were the man who knew
he
about horses.
I didn't need prestige.
Right,
see, most
right.
people are frustrated and work hard to get
yes,
prestige
yes.
or money.
Right, right. And it came to you.
And it was there. Yes.
What were some of the...
Because I did everything else as a youngster. Mm-hmm. I worked in a shoe store. I was in the automobile business. My dad opened a little store for me, which was silly, of course, at 16. He shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And all those little things in other people's business. I was interested anyway. Oh, and I managed one of my first jobs. I managed at 19, a variety store in Oakland on Forbes Street.
Oh.
And that was, there was a woman by the name of Supka.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we were able to get them up with well-known people now, but little Eva Sopkoff, and she got married late, very late. Mm-hmm. And she married this little fella from down in Steubenville that had cigar stores in front of the theater. Mm. You know, they, in all the lobbies they had cigar stores. And he opened this variety store in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Took his business out of the cigar store. And he hired me as a clerk. And I loved it. So you see, I did like everything I did.
Right.
Because I could trim the windows, and I knew every spool of thread on that store. The 5,000 items, I knew every single one. And he got sick and he died. And the Aronsons that owned the building, big real estate for the people at that time, in fact, Richie Aronson's still living. And that's the funny part of it. And he put a constable, so he closed the store. For rent.
Right.
The man died. I was the only one worked in the store. And there's a group called the 40 Thieves.
I've heard of them.
Well, the 40 Thieves came to the constable sale, and the way they operated was they go around everybody and say, don't bid. And when we buy the place, we'll give you money. You see? So they stole it. They bought it for very little. And then split up the money, and then they would draw straws, whoever wanted to buy it, for the cheapest price. So Mr. Aronson didn't get the money. They did. That was the 40 Thieves. Now, they went on big enough to buy steel mills and all that way.
Yes.
And I was at the sale, and there's one fellow by the name of Weiner bought the place. I remember these names. Remarkable.
Yes, it is remarkable.
I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for him for 2 weeks. We ran a big sale.
Mm-hmm.
I knew all the items.
Right.
And he ran it. I painted the signs and did the advertising and the trimming and sale and everything else. And in 2 weeks' time, he was very disgusted. He's tired of it. I don't know, this is small time. Want to buy it off me? I said, yes. What do you want for it? He said, $500. So I had $250 and I borrowed $250. And I bought the place and sold the rest. But things he didn't know, I had dozens of nylon, or was it chiffon, I guess at that time, chiffon hose in the basement. And they were really of value.
This was the variety store.
The variety store.
Oh, my.
So I ran the final part of this sale for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I made over $3,000.
Oh, wow.
On what was left.
Right.
And mind you, I was just a kid then. Well, I did have a little
Why
bit
did
money
you buy it when you were going out of business?
He knew about it.
I knew about it.
He
I was
didn't
there.
Go
I ran. I was the one that ran the, the store at 19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I ran a sale for 2 weeks and had all this money. And maybe too much for a 19-year-old.
That was a fortune at that time.
Oh, yes. Imagine to make $2,500 in 2 weeks.
That's tremendous, yes.
And I think I loafed for about 6 months and spent the money. I was crazy about a little blonde girl from Oakland. There were an awful lot of these little girls. So I was really in a bonanza then. And that was my first venture in...
What did your father want to set you up in? What kind of business?
Oh, my dad, he was a great guy, but he thought if he had lived in these kind of times, it'd have been he was very wealthy several times.
Yes, you told me.
But he would have been just like his brother L.J. Selznick,
right,
the movie picture business, David O's father. But he didn't think in these for the bad times, and I did because that's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I was a depression baby.
Right.
So the dollar was all you wanted. The value of a dollar, and you squeezed every dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now the way people spend money, you know, it's
very different.
So I made much of it, too much. Mm-hmm. And I gave. And Jack Warner used to tell me you worry too much about it, and he would try to make me raise it. In fact, he did raise the prices.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh no, my customers, they won't like that."
Mm-hmm.
And that was
But what business was your father thought you might do well in?
He didn't care. He went into any business. But he went, at that time, he went into the retread tire business, right at that time, mm-hmm. which was brand new. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, the automobile business then was just, that was the time to get in it. And mm-hmm. he did. He had some good agencies, mm-hmm. automobile agencies, mm-hmm. and but he was not conservative enough. He thought too big. And if you think too big in those kind of times, you go broke. I think you had mentioned you can look up almost every tremendously successful man in mm-hmm. In every business and right. find they went broke a time or two.
Right. And they expected.
Yes. But he opened a store for me at the corner, the Bloomfield Bridge and Baumhold, or Beechwood Boulevard.
Yes.
Or not Beechwood.
Not Beechwood.
Bigelow. It was silly. I was 16 years old. I was still in school. And I went there after school and ran this place. And I was just not...
What were you selling?
Well, food.
Oh,
it was a
grocery
store. No, sandwich shop.
Oh, a sandwich shop.
Yeah. He had it fixed up pretty good and all. Under different circumstances, I could have been in a restaurant business today.
Yeah.
But it wasn't good thinking.
No.
The location was bad, and the fact that I didn't have any supervision.
Right.
And.
But he must have had great confidence in you that you could run it.
Well, I wondered if it was that or he was through his own ego, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it was wrong. Definitely wrong.
So you didn't stay there?
No, no. That was too much. I remember walking home at 12 o'clock at night from
Bloomfield Bridge?
Bloomfield Bridge to Forbes Street.
Oh, my.
Wow.
That's a long walk.
He didn't live very long doing. Oh, he didn't mind that. See, you know, because everybody walked in.
Yeah, right. But that's his.
But
I guess the neighborhood was all right too.
Well, nobody bothered me.
Yeah, right.
I did used to sing a song. I was a little bit scared. Mm-hmm. But it was funny, a 16-year-old youngster, and I would walk along on that at 11 or 12 o'clock at night and singing. Mr. Moon, Moon, bright and silvery moon, will you please shine down on me? There's a man behind me with a gaping gun or something. That was the words of the song. If I sang it, I'd remember the words.
Uh-huh.
And smoking, that's where I learned to smoke, because he had the cigarettes in the store.
Right.
And although hated the taste of it, mm-hmm. so that was bad. And then I smoked until I was 30. But I could see the damage it did. So I tried to make everybody, I think I said it before, stop.
Aware.
Stop smoking.
Good for you.
I didn't make anybody stop smoking. I made a lot of enemies. Get out of my life.
Right.
Those kind of things.
You know, you mentioned David O. Selznick.
Yes.
Did you have any kind of contact with him when he was a producer?
Yes, family.
Family contacts.
My sister was out there and worked out there. And later, yeah, we had family contacts.
Did you?
And, but not...
He was your uncle.
He was my cousin.
His father was his uncle.
His father was my uncle. Mm-hmm. He was my first cousin. Mm-hmm. There were three boys in his family.
So there wasn't too much of that?
No. As babies, they lived with us. We lived together.
Oh, really? Here
but just as babies.
Ah.
So we really didn't...
You didn't get to
but
know
But he didn't try to make any contact, mm-hmm. Although he did send me some clothes of his.
Right.
But they were yachting clothes.
You couldn't use them very much.
Oh, no.
Tell me, is there anything that you would like to tell us that we haven't asked you about? Because you have such a full life.
A million things, but I don't.
Yes, you can't
have to come up.
I wanted to ask you, you were lucky to have been afforded this prestige and with so many of the people that you worked with. Were there other people and families maybe of note in Pittsburgh area or Greensburg area that you might want to mention or tell us about?
The Horsey set,
mm-hmm.
which is highly overrated, because every little town has its Horsey set.
Yeah, right.
It's a matter of climbing up the ladder in that town, socially. It's all a joke, really.
Yes.
Because everybody's suffering to get what you already have, I felt. And I find that too among older people. When people first meet me, I told you that that keep you sort of at arm's length. But after they get to know me, things level off. I became their age. Mm-hmm. I become
they
their age.
With you.
I find things in common we have by listening to them, not what
right.
I have,
right.
but either what they want from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings you very close together.
Right.
So when I go to the social functions with Sheila, it's easy. I'm surrounded.
She's made friends among the...
You think highly of her ability.
People that she's helped.
Yeah, Yes, that's why it's so wonderful. She's been happy all these years because...
Good.
She
she's
has
involved.
This, yeah, she has this prestige.
Tell me, what here, now in your this part of your life,
yes.
this time of your life,
yes.
besides... some of the horses that you have here. Are there any other things that you do during the day that you enjoy particularly?
I have no need. I used to play golf, yes. Mm-hmm. A group of boys played golf, so I played with them. They had no interest in my business.
Right.
That is my real close social
yes.
friends. And they played golf, so I did, and I enjoyed it just as much.
Mm-hmm.
I never very
but
good
these
at it.
But these days, every day. What is your life like every day?
It's pretty, somebody else might think it's not interesting. To me, it's very satisfying because I work. I like to work, but with my hands.
You do things here with your hands?
Oh, I did up till just a short while ago, even yesterday, just this boy's first day is yesterday. I do all my own stable work.
You do?
But it got to the point now where yesterday I put in a fence post. Well, that was a little heavy, so now I have him. I can't do things
good.
Like that.
Good.
See? And there's a million little things.
Mm-hmm.
I keep the landscaping myself. I have tractors to cut the grass with. And
you ride them?
Oh, yes.
You ride
oh, yeah.
Them?
I don't let anybody touch them.
Oh, I see.
I fix them myself.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that, you know. But that's full-time. And I shop.
You do.
Keep my stable with feeding and all. That's full time.
But you don't shop for your home.
Yeah.
Food?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you do that too?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do all the shopping.
You cook?
Not a bit. My
not
mother,
a...
Don't forget it. That's another thing. In my era as a young boy, you worked outside the house. You did
right.
the, bring the coal in work. And cut the grass. And,
the heavy
and the girls, the three girls, did the housework.
I see.
You see.
So that's what you were used to.
Oh, yes. I can do a few. I could be a cook.
I bet.
Yeah, I could be a cook.
I
of course,
think
with
you
television.
Could be, I think you could be anything you want to be, Mr.
Well,
Selznick.
I enjoyed it all, too. That was a funny part.
I know.
The only thing I didn't enjoy was selling in stores. I met the customer like a fighter in the middle of a ring.
Mm-hmm.
With the boss standing behind you.
Yeah.
And the poor customer, I worried about his money.
Yes.
And you knew, you felt that they may have been cheated. And I
yes.
want to tell him, don't do this.
Yes.
Tell them what to do with their money.
Yeah,
see.
Right. Yes.
So it was money was yes. very important.
Point,
in,
right.
Yeah. I mean, as saving it, not making
right,
it.
Right, right.
Saving it.
Right.
I always said to Stanley Gumberg, I said, I never made a living in the horse business. I saved it, which is true.
Right.
See. I still, when I go shopping, I'll buy the special of the week.
Good for you.
It's easy.
Yes.
I won't go for coupons, because you don't need that stuff anyway that's on
yeah.
coupon.
That's true. That's
so
true.
I do things like that. And I figure out to the ounce on the breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
I won't pay more than roughly 10 cents an ounce for breakfast food, because I buy a pound of oats for 6 cents, and they want 30 cents an ounce.
For cereals.
For cereal.
Yeah, it's going up.
Yeah. I had a little thing going that way, but I don't think people enjoyed it. I used to kid them about it.
Tell me, you mentioned a social group. Do you have a social group now?
Oh, yeah, very much.
You do.
But they're all Sheila's associates in the horse world.
I see. So well, you've
I
know.
It goes all the way back to before it had anything to do with the hunting.
I see.
But it was all... people that were interested that came. The were drawn into it for some place to play.
I see.
They all hated their business and wanted to get out of it.
What kind of social things do you do outside the house with your wife?
Well, of course, there's all kinds of, there's almost a party almost every week.
Really?
Much more
really?
Probably than the average person. Like there's breakfasts, what they call a stirrup cup, for example. They're going to go hunting that day. So somebody in that neighborhood, they hunt it just in front of this estate. Uh-huh. And the people that own the estate serve wine before with the people on horses.
I see.
That's called a stirrup cup. So you have one of those every couple of weeks or so.
Good.
And horse shows, mm-hmm. which are very social. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the big show north of Pittsburgh,
Butler?
Tort Butler, yeah, that big horse show. And come in a very big charity event. And we take a table there for a week. Mm-hmm. So I don't go every day. We go maybe four or five times. And our table is a big event table. Everybody comes to our table. Mm-hmm. Even with the kids, you know, set the baby in the middle of the table. It's all social and fun.
It is.
And people showing off. They want to impress me. Everybody wants to impress me. And I love it.
Of course.
Sure, it's a compliment.
Yes, it is.
And
are they mostly non-Jews?
Yeah. Well, no. And oddly narrow. Not